we're stuck in our dependence on oil, and that's the root of our problem.
Michael Clare is the author of Rising Powers, Shrinking Planet, The New Geopolitics of Energy. We asked him today to describe just what the Bush administration's U.S. energy policy calls for.
Essentially, it calls for preserving the status quo, which relies on oil for our major source of energy, and this is reflected in all kinds of tax breaks and incentives for increased drilling in the Gulf of Mexico and in other parts of the United States, and on increasing our reliance on overseas sources of energy in Africa, in the Middle East, and in Central Asia.
We should mention Canada as well, Canada being the number one supplier of U.S. oil, isn't that correct?
Yes, the U.S. certainly does turn to Canada and Mexico, but Canada and Mexico are declining as suppliers of conventional petroleum, Venezuela as well. So increasingly, we have to turn to Africa, the Middle East, and Central Asia for our future sources of energy.
So what was the idea behind keeping the status quo, this reliance on petroleum?
The stated rationale is that the United States is very much reliant on petroleum for our energy and for especially for transportation energy, that we're a country that moves goods and people on wheels, as distinct from other countries that might rely more on railroads, for example. And therefore, to keep the economy moving, we need more oil. Now, others would say, and I believe, that we have a very strong political influence in Washington of the oil industry. President Bush and Vice President Cheney come from that world. There's a strong influence, political influence of the oil industry, and I think that's reflected in their policies.
All right. So if the U.S. energy policy right now expressly has a reliance on petroleum products, on oil, then compare that to the energy policies of similar countries, similarly developed countries, for instance, in Europe.
The European countries have been trying for several years, for decades now, to move away from reliance on petroleum. This is partly because they worry about the fear of disruption in the Middle East, where they get a lot of their oil. So they use tax policy. Oil is heavily taxed in Europe. The price of petroleum is twice what it is in the United States. And as a result, European drivers, you know, tend to prefer much smaller cars, much more fuel-efficient cars. They also have many more diesel-powered cars, which are much more fuel-efficient than conventional cars in Europe. Secondly, they use that tax money to build intercity rail and light rail and trolleys and bus lines. So there's a much heavier emphasis on public transit in Europe than in this country. Get people out of cars, get them into electrically driven rail lines in Europe. All of the European countries are moving away from their reliance on petroleum to other alternative sources of energy. Now, they have chosen different paths. France has emphasized nuclear power. Germany has emphasized natural gas and increasingly solar power and wind power. So there are different paths that they have taken.
Germany's reliance on natural gas, but also solar and wind, what does that policy look like on the ground? I mean, how do you see the difference?
Well, travelers to Europe, especially to Germany and Denmark and Netherlands, will see wherever they travel large number of windmills. And, of course, buildings, they'll see many solar panels, much more visible than in the United States.
These are on residential homes? Are these on government buildings?
Everywhere.
Are they subsidized? I mean, solar can be expensive, as beneficial as it might be.
Yes, they are subsidized by the government in various ways, tax breaks and otherwise.
When you talk about energy conservation and how this is something that Americans will have to adopt to wean ourselves from traditional petroleum, fossil fuels, energy conservation, is that something, though, that a government would promote and execute, or is that something that individuals would do, you know, cutting your speed in the car by 10 miles an hour or not driving at all, moving to public transportation?
We've had examples where the government stepped in and made huge progress in energy conservation, most notably after the oil shocks of 1973-1974 when OPEC increased its prices and you had the oil embargo. Congress lowered the speed limit to 55 miles an hour, and that saved huge amount of petroleum. It also imposed the CAFE standards, the corporate average fuel efficiency standards in automobiles, which has made a tremendous difference over the years in our fuel usage. And so Congress could do that again.
All right. Thank you very much for your views. Michael Clare is the author of Rising Powers, Shrinking Planet, The New Geopolitics of Energy. He directs the Five College Program in Peace and World Security Studies at Hampshire College in Amherst. Thanks, Michael.
My pleasure.